Okay, call to order. This is the special meeting of the Sewerage Commission, Oroville Region, December 12th, 2022, at 11 o'clock. Call to order. Roll call.
Roll call. Commissioner Taggart, not here. Commissioner Riston.
Here.
Commissioner Mastalotto. Commissioner Salvucci.
Here.
Commissioner Reynolds.
Here.
Commissioner Thompson, absent for now.
Okay, let's stand for the salute for the pledge of allegiance. Salute, pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Acknowledgements of visitors. Are you considered a visitor?
No, I thank you for the acknowledgement. I'm pinch hitting for Scott for your record.
Thank you.
Huber, your counsel.
Thank you. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you all.
What was your name?
Dave Ritchie.
Dave Ritchie, that's right.
The Dave Ritchie.
Well, I've been here once or twice before.
You have?
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Board meeting minutes?
Yes, Madam Chair, we included the minutes from last meeting in your packets for your review. If there's any questions, I can answer them now.
Any questions?
I make the motion we approve the board meeting minutes.
I'll second it.
November 16th.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Authorization for warrants.
Yes, Madam Chair, you and I went over the warrants earlier this morning. I believe they were all in order. If you had any questions, now's the time.
Okay. Well, I reviewed the records and the checks number 27832 through check number 27876 were fine. I also approved the commissioner fees, check number 1052.6 through 1053.1. And then we also had some direct withdrawals from the account. The total was $441,628.95. I'll make a motion to approve that if no one has any questions. Any questions?
Second.
Okay. Do we have to wait until he gets back?
It would be ideal because we're at 50% here.
Okay.
Yeah, we need him for the quorum.
You need a little bit more than a 50%.
Okay. Yeah, I was here at 8 o'clock.
Here he comes.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You're fine.
And I just, so everybody knows, I tested before I came. I have a little cold going on.
Okay.
But I did test this morning before I came down here to make sure, and it was negative.
No issues.
Well, thank you for doing that.
You bet.
So we have a motion and a second for the approval of the warrants. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Fiscal report?
Yes, Madam Chair, I included those in the packet.
Be here in 2 minutes. He wanted you to know.
Okay.
I included those in the packet for your guys' review.
Is there any questions? Okay. Let's move on to the next item. This is a resolution 06-22 authorizing SCORE to apply for SRF funding and making manager authorized representative.
Yes, Madam Chair. So we are finally to the point where we've gotten the completed SRF application. Now, granted, we all in this room know that this upgrade project has kind of changed now because we're phasing it, but we are still applying for SRF just in case any of our other funding options don't come through, so we will be covered in case that happens. So our plan is still to apply for the full funding package for the SRF and you know, so this is basically a resolution authorizing me to do that and authorizing me to be the signature representative from SCORE. So that's all this resolution is just so we can continue on the same plan to apply for those SRF funding. I do wanted to kind of talk to you guys, and it's in my manager's report, about funding in the coming up here in a little bit, a different look at it, but for for this, I believe we need to do this now to move forward.
So on the funding, so we move forward with this, and what about if we get the other funding, this is just...
Backup?
Yeah, exactly.
And do they hold that funding for us?
Well, SRF takes like 3 years.
Oh, okay.
It's ridiculously long. Okay. So that's why I don't want to wait on it, and okay. just in case we need it, because then we'd be 3 years out. So let's just start the process now. We'll go through everything, and if we need to pull up, it's like, you know, we were talking to the other managers the other day. For this funding, you kind of have to be on like five paths and then just pull up at the last minute on four of them, you know, or three of them, whichever ones you end up getting. Because if you wait until each one pans out that you're not going to get it, then you are just behind the eight ball constantly. You're just, time is not on your side. So
if we get the grant money we're hoping for, then we're set.
Exactly. We're hoping to never take loans, but we got to have it in the pipeline just in case we need to.
Is there an application fee we pay up front for that?
Not on that one. Okay. That one, we've already paid the application fee kind of up front, because this is what we authorized Provost and Pitcher $230,000 to make the application for. Okay. So we're $230,000 into this application.
Gotcha.
As we sit here.
Plus
right
the cost
now.
Of environmental reporting and
exactly
all the other reporting that goes with that.
So. How's it going, Commissioner Taggart?
Hello, everyone. Sorry,
I'm late. Does anybody have any questions? Or
I have one question. Is there a cap on? I'm sure there is a cap. What would the cap be on the amount of funds that you could request?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure if there's a cap.
I don't think there is a single project cap.
We did request the total amount of the upgrade project, which is by now, well, I think we put $40,000.
$40 million.
Yeah, $40 million.
Right, sorry. Okay.
And if the project changes along the way, like we're going down this phasing road now, and we'll talk about more about that later, but if the phasing goes on as we're going through the application process with the state, that total can be adjusted according to how much we actually need at the time.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Any other questions? Roll call?
Yeah, we'll need a roll call for that one. Commissioner Riston.
Do we need to make a motion first?
You have a motion, Lydia. You need to make motion in a second.
I jumped the gun. My fault.
Yeah. There's a roll call, yeah. When we get there, it'll be a roll call.
Okay.
Yeah, I make a motion. We approve resolution 06-22, authorizing SCORE to apply for SRF funding and making manager authorized representative.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Oh.
Aye.
We gotta
opposed?
We got to do a roll call on that one.
Oh, okay.
So, Commissioner Riston?
Aye.
Commissioner Mastalotto?
Aye.
Commissioner Reynolds?
Yes.
Unanimous.
And we have one for Commissioner Taggart, who joined the meeting at 11:06, please.
He's not a voting member.
Oh, he's not a voting member. My mistake. And there we go.
Okay.
Hey, Brad.
He is the alternate or the
non-voting member. Consider proposal and awarding a contract for concrete pad and awning for a sodium bisulfate station.
Yes, Madam Chair. So we've been talking about this one for a while. This is our... Just to refresh you guys, we pulled the sodium hypochlorite station out of the upgrade plan and are going to repurpose it when that comes. But until then, we will use it as a sodium bisulfite station, which will help us to dechlore in the case that our sodium dioxide gas we can no longer get. Or sulfur dioxide gas, I'm sorry, I'm using a lot of chemical terms. Because of the reliability and the availability of that is why we requested a while ago to go down this route. So now we are to the point where we need to get the actual structure built. So we asked for quotes from two different contractors, Gateway, who is currently doing our influent pump station, who are quite happy with their work. So we wanted to get one from them. And then Duke Sherwood, who is a local contractor here who has done a lot of work for SCORE in the past. So I included both of those proposals in your packet. As you can see, the Gateway Pacific Contractors proposal comes out to $193,489. And the Duke Sherwood proposal comes out to $140,509. So it's for the exact same work. So, you know, it's your guys' choice on which one you're going to choose. But to me, my recommendation is we would go with Duke Sherwood being local and being $50,000 less.
And he's always been reliable.
And they've always been great, yep. Mm-hmm. So that would be my recommendation.
Any questions?
Okay. So, one question. Duke Sherwood's bid is a lot...
More simple?
More simple,
yes.
I guess.
And I made sure it was apples
skinny,
to apples.
But, yeah.
No, I made sure we were looking at apples to apples here.
Okay.
I can't share any cost. Like when one guy gives me a cost, I can't tell the other guy it was this.
Right. Right.
That's unethical. But I did give the list to Duke Sherwood and Gateway to say, this is what both of you guys are bidding on or proposing, so that we had apples to apples and we don't have anything here.
Yeah, just didn't have any travel.
Exactly. Yeah.
It just looked a little bit simple. Yeah.
Yep.
Which is fine. I mean,
Gateway has travel.
They have travel, exactly.
No, travel.
They won't have to mow, demow.
Cross the street.
Exactly.
Plus the money stays in town.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Any other questions? Would someone like to make a motion? Okay, well, I'll make a motion that we accept the contract from Duke Sherwood Construction for the concrete, for the pad, and awning for the sodium bisulfate station.
I second it.
Okay, roll call.
I think you should probably include the cost not to exceed.
Include the not to exceed, and then it's typical in a contract like this to have a 10% overage that you approve so that you don't have to come back in case there's a little overage. So, Glenn, what's your preference on that?
We typically haven't done that in the past. We also, I haven't done a lot of these type of things, so that's something that I just missed. I didn't add it on there.
My recommendation would be that you approve the amount from the bid with authority for a 10% overage if it's needed that Glenn can authorize on his own.
Okay. Well, I'll
appreciate that.
Amend my awarding of the contract to Duke Sherwood for a total of $140,509 with a variance of 10% that can be approved by our general manager.
Very good. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Riston?
Aye.
Commissioner Mastalato?
Yes.
Commissioner Reynolds?
Yes.
Unanimous.
Okay, attorney's report.
Nothing of substance report. We do have the final letters in for your new counsel coming in, and so we're going to forward those to Glenn for inclusion at your next meeting or consideration at your next meeting.
Thank you.
Yes.
Manager's report.
Yes, Madam Chair. So operation and maintenance, not a whole lot going on. We did a pretty good job this month. No hiccups. Everything was pretty good. The one thing I did want to talk about for sure was the upgrade funding options. While I feel we are on the right path and we're doing everything that we should do, there, and we've kind of talked about this option before, but this is kind of our last off-ramp, I should say. If we wanted to change our tactic, this would be the time. So after getting that money from the county, which we still have not officially been told, but everything that we've been told unofficially is that it's going to be the $24.6 million. With what SCORE has in its bank account, we could come up with 50% of the project cost for the total upgrade project without phasing it. And then we could go through the federal government and apply for a WIFIA loan. All you need is 51% of your project, and they'll cover the rest. It takes about 9% or 9 months to get to it. They have pretty good terms. They have, actually their terms are better than the SRF terms. The previous thinking to this was we didn't want to take a loan, at least not at this juncture. I still believe that that's the way we should go. I think that there's free money we can get, and I don't think we need to take a loan for right around $20 million to finish this project. I like the way we're doing it in phasing, and I think we can find free money to finish it. And in my opinion, worst case scenario, we have to borrow $20 million later, and we're in the same place as we are right now if we borrow $20 million now, but we've done none of the effort to try to get the free money. Now, where you can get in a bind, as some of the commissioners that have been on here for a while, Commissioner Reynolds knows, we did that here at the influent pump station. We went chasing free money. We got a grant. We ended up getting a grant, but the project doubled in cost during the time that we were chasing free money. So in that time that we chased free money, it actually cost SCORE money to get free money. Now, no one could foresee what just happened with the economy and all that, and that's part of what did that. But I just wanted it to be very clear that we do have an opportunity to go out for a loan right now and just build the complete upgrade project. I believe we'd have to take a loan somewhere in a neighborhood of $20 to $25 million to do that, which would definitely cause rate increases throughout the district, which we're all trying to avoid. So personally, I do not recommend that we jump off and go for the WIFIA loan right now, but this is our last opportunity to do that, and I wanted to make sure that you guys were very comfortable moving forward on the path that we are, and not
with the phasing,
and trying to get free money and going about it that way. Because there is people that just say, hey, just pull the Band-Aid off and get it done. We've been waiting to do this project for 50 years. Now you have an opportunity to do it. You don't know if that's guaranteed to happen again. I believe we can make that happen again, and I think worst case scenario, we just take a loan later. But like I said, I just want you guys to have all the information to make the best decision for the community going forward. And this is our last option to take this route if that's the way we wanted to do it.
What's the payback interest rate?
Right now, I'm not exactly sure what it is.
On SRF?
On the WIFIA right now.
On the WIFIA, it's a little bit higher than SRF.
It's a little bit higher.
SRF was like the lowest, but it's the most convoluted process. There's a lot of red tape, and time-wise, it's very long. The WIFIA is a lot more favorable as far as time concerns. There's a lot less red tape. But I want to say last time we looked at WIFIA, it was like 2.5%, and I think SRF was down around 1.
It was lower, yes.
That was in the middle of the pandemic.
Now, the thing was, we could always, if we don't take WIFIA now, that doesn't mean we can't do WIFIA later, because WIFIA, the terms on WIFIA are better than SRF for SCORE moving in the future. Not financially, they're about the same, but for, as Micah said, the red tape, the all the stuff that the state of California wants you to participate in if you want their money, right? They're going to say
groundwater monitoring,
punch 15 monitoring wells around the plant, which comes with a cost. They're not paying for that. We got to pay for that. They're going to say you got to be in the California conservation water conservation thing, which has a fee every year, and you got to jump through hoops. And I'm not saying that these things are bad things, but we took a loan from SRF when I was at the city of Colusa, and I think in hindsight they probably wouldn't have done it after they got all the different red tape that they had to jump through, and hoops and whatnot. And the thing with WIFIA is all you have to do is have 51% of the project cost to take a WIFIA loan. So say we do phase one with the county's money, everything goes great. We got to try to come up with $20 million for phase two. SCORE should have about half of that in the bank account if I play this thing right and we don't have too many change orders in phase one. So at that point, WIFIA might be an option to go to WIFIA and just get half
of it. WIFIA always be here?
WIFIA should always be here. It's been here for, I think, 15 years now, and it's a federal program. It's, you know, I don't think it's going away.
What if you went for the WIFIA loan, but you considered still to look for free money?
Well, that's the other thing.
But if you have the money in the bank, can you still get free money?
You can, depending on the way it is, yes. So, like, technically, if we had, like, right now, our bank account, the capital money that we have is earmarked for upgrades.
Okay.
If it was specifically earmarked for the wastewater treatment plant upgrade, we couldn't have received the money from the county.
Yeah.
So there's certain funds that you can't offset your funds that you've already taken from your community to pay for. Or you have to give that money back to the community if you've earmarked it specifically for something and then you get money to pay for it. So there's a lot of moving pieces, but I believe that WIFIA always will be an option for us.
But by the time, let's say we got a WIFIA loan right now for, say, $20 million.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we needed that $20 million, how far out are we?
I'm not exactly understanding the question.
So. By the time we needed to use the $20 million we borrowed,
mm-hmm.
how long would that be?
That would probably be Well, we have to spend the 24.6 that we got from the county by 2025, so theirs would be the first money spent, obviously, so we can get that off our books.
So we're probably looking at 2 years before we'd spend that money?
Probably.
What's the LAIF term? LAIF terms right now?
I'm not 100% on that.
Because we did this one time in Thermalito, yeah, because our cash flow got way low because of projects. So we wanted to have enough money in the bank in case something big come up, you could act on it.
Exactly.
So what we did, we borrowed $1 million.
Gotcha.
Okay, but we put it in LAIF, and it was actually making more money. We were making money on the money we borrowed.
Gotcha. You were making more on the interest than the debt service.
We're making more than the debt service.
Understood. Yeah.
I can answer this question. In fact, so one of the partners that I work with is Wolf Hansen. They're a municipal advising firm, and they sometimes will give guidance as to where your investment policy will allow you to place funds in LAIF, which is short-term easy access. And right now, LAIF is like a couple of points behind certain treasuries that are easily accessible treasuries. So they have been meeting with most of my clients and talking about shifting from LAIF into treasuries, certain treasuries, because of the way the rates are right now, that they are much higher than LAIF. But it just really sort of depends on your structure, right? And they're usually talking about things like, you know, if you do a bond and you get new money for improvements, don't keep it in LAIF, put it in treasuries. You get them in 90 days if you need them. You know, that kind of thing. So LAIF is not the best product right now,
right,
according to the municipal advisors. But in order to get really good guidance on that, you need to have a municipal advisor.
I was just curious, you know, to what, you know.
It's gotten a lot better. We could get Lori in here and she could give
me
exactly.
Because even if you don't end up finding free money, but if that money is, you know, out for 2 years or longer before you use it, you're still going to
make money on the interest.
You know, yeah. I mean, you might get it down to 0.5% that you're paying, yeah, or something like that, or it's a wash.
Yeah, so, no, I wasn't even thinking about it in that way.
I don't, you know, well, as long as it wouldn't affect the, you know, trying to obtain free money.
Yeah.
And that might be a way to look at it too, so.
And the other thing that really hasn't hit the pipeline yet is that infrastructure funding bill, the federal infrastructure funding bill. I think they're releasing $70 billion for water projects and $70 billion for wastewater projects too.
I mean, personally, I'm confident we're going to find free money. That's, you know. But I also don't want, you know, I wouldn't bet my firstborn child on it, though. You know,
corn is, if you say that. You know, that program's probably going to just continue to be there, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're under no thought that it's going away. I mean, we talk to them at the, we talk to them every time we get a chance, but we talk to them at the California Reuse Conference, and we talked to the lady that runs the WIFIA program, and she didn't give any indication that we'd have any issues. The nice thing about WIFIA is that 9-month turnaround, so. My plan is to keep all our money in the bank, not use any of our money for any of this stuff until and when, if we needed to, then I could say, hey, I got $11 million in the bank and we need 10 from WIFIA.
So, right.
You know, that's my plan. My goal, and you guys gave me this goal right off the bat, was not to raise rates. And obviously that's it. That should be every manager's goal. So I think we still have time to not have to do something like this and still try to go down that route without taking loans. Personally, my recommendation is that we stay on the path that we were on. But
well, and how would it look on our records if we had a $25 million loan, but we have $25 million in our account? Would we still have to raise the rates, or would it offset each other?
Depends what the debt service was.
Yeah, that exactly, the debt service. So when we looked at it last time, I think we were budgeting somewhere between $1.5 million and $2 million a year just in debt service. So, like right now, that is, I'm trying to think, we charge $19.85 an EDU. I believe that is about $7 off of that $19.85 just for debt service. So if we were to go that way, we'd have to, I believe that the total rate structure, obviously we're under a rate study right now, so it might change, but I think it took it up to like $29 per EDU to pay that loan. So I don't think that's anywhere we want to be.
Yeah.
$10 increase.
Yeah.
I think the direction we're going with the free money is probably the best at this point. What does everybody else think?
And you're comfortable with phasing?
Yes.
Yeah. I think I was just curious what the other options were. So.
Yeah, that's good.
No, that was a good, definitely.
Because
we can look into that.
At the time we did it, you know, the interest took care of the debt service.
Yeah, I know, so that's awesome. I didn't
then
even
it got to
that.
A point, which was probably about 18 months out or something like that, then it started to turn the corner, but we just paid it off.
Yeah.
By then you had more money in your coffers, and, you know, so. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, just as long, you know, if we're like covered like that, yeah, there's no reason to get it now.
So, yeah. And that was my thought, but I did want to give you guys the option one last time before we push forward with the phasing aspect of it. Inflow pump station is still on pace to be completed on March 23. And I added on here that we might have to have a special meeting in January. Obviously, I would keep you guys up to speed on that, when it could be or when we would have to do it. We'll coordinate that with you guys. But the reason is because we were hoping to have some more proposals to select an engineering firm to do the NEPA document, the environmental document for phase one of the project. But we've only received one proposal, and so we didn't feel like that was proper to come in here with only one option for you guys. We felt like you guys needed more than one option. So but this is kind of a time sensitive issue too, that we need to get that thing going as soon as we possibly can.
It's for the funding.
So we might have to call you guys in for a special meeting just to approve that contract with an economic or an engineering firm to do that environmental document. And we might need to do closed session with Scott Huber during that meeting as well, so he can kind of inform you guys on the litigation. I can let you know a little bit. We've not as far as the litigation and dealing with that, but the study, we did get some numbers back from Bartle and Wells on their recommendations for a rate, a change of the rate, and their recommendation is not to change the EDU costs, but to change the multifamily's portion of the EDU costs. So I think it was 74% that they're recommending, so that a multifamily or a mobile home would pay 74% of what a single family home would pay. When we extrapolate that out on our budget, that ends up being about a 9% decrease in total revenue to the plant. So when Bartles and Wells is done with their rate study and we have to do 218s, which now this is going to guarantee that we have to do 218s at your three entities, then we will have to adjust. And basically the single family payers are going to end up having their bill go up a little bit, while the multifamily and mobile home parks have their bills go down a little bit to offset that. So we were hoping it wasn't going to come out that way. And basically they just use census data to figure that out. They looked at who said they were living in what facilities and just went by population and said that multifamily has 2.4 people for every 2.7 that's in a single family. So other than like really getting in the weeds and going out there and putting composite samplers out there and testing and trying to find out exactly what all these different multifamily unit apartments are doing, and this is kind of the only data that's available. I don't really like it. I don't agree with it. I don't think it's accurate, but.
Can I ask you a question?
That's all we have.
Yes, sir.
So on that study you just mentioned, those 2.4 versus 2.7,
mm-hmm.
Are those, like, is that just by word of mouth?
It's the census data.
So, but it relies upon the honesty of the residents.
Sure. So if you live in a multifamily, low-income multifamily apartment complex, and they tell you you can only have four people living in there, you're not going to tell them you have six.
Exactly.
But I bet most of them do.
Exactly.
So that's why I say I don't like it. I don't think it's actually captures what's really going on out in the community. But there's so little when it comes to the wastewater and sewer, with not being able to put flow meters on stuff, there's so little actual data. Unless we were to literally go out to that apartment complex, set up a composite sample, and do a study. And, you know, we can do that if that's the way you guys want to go. From what we were told from Bartle and Wells, most municipalities are just going off the census data and just going, okay, that is what it is.
I know that, you know, I would say that the one area that does have very low population within the homes is probably the senior home parks.
Yep, for sure.
So the fixture thing is out the window. That's old school. It's gone.
Well, I mean, that's what we used forever. But
yeah,
when it comes to the multifamily, yep. So, anyways,
we have a chance to look at the study before we discuss it.
100%. Oh, yes. Yeah, we'll have a we'll probably have a couple meetings where we discuss that study, and then we'll have to have Prop 218s for LOAPUD, Prop 218s for Thermalito, Prop 218s for the city.
We're going to put meters on all the sewage pipes coming out of people's homes.
If there wasn't stuff in the sewer, that's what we would do. But the problem is
we'll
just got to put a grinder before it, so it's all liquid that comes through it.
I mean, and to be honest, like if you wanted to do a study on one of these places, that's probably what you'd have to do. You'd probably have to have like a unit that you built that came with a grinder and a flow meter that you dropped into the manhole and did it to actually get a decent study. But then I think they're just going to argue, well, my apartment complex isn't like that apartment complex. They have more over there. So, I mean, that's why I think that they end up using the census data, because it just saves footwork. Because you're just going to end up doing study after study after study after study. And and somebody might move out. And then the census, it's always going to be up in the air. So I think that the easiest way to do it is just with the census data. And I guess everyone's just going to yell at me at the Prop 218 meetings when I go there and tell them their bill's going up and the multifamily's going down. But that's what
probably is a $1 million invention, though, to design some kind of a meter that even if maybe that scanned it or something. That
probably, I mean, if you could make one, you'd probably have a lot of money.
Yeah, you have flow meters already. It's just grinding up the salt.
They gum up. Yeah, that's
but
the problem with the waste.
A meter that didn't have to grind it, just through some kind of technology.
$239, you get a battery operated one that grinds it to an eighth of an inch.
Yeah.
Because I got one from a trailer.
Yeah.
It'll go through a garden hose. Just put a flow meter on the end of that bad boy.
You could. I mean, that might be
a little solar panel.
That's what your manager wants to do. That's what your manager wants to do. He's not a happy camper at all. So, anyways, and we'll have more talking about that as it comes, as that study gets done. But that's on the horizon. So, and I'm sure that's what will be talked about in the closed session with Scott Huber. He'll give you the details on the litigation and how that study is going to affect it. But that's all I got.
Okay, any other questions? Do we have any comments from visitors, commissioners, or staff? Nope? Mm-mm. Okay. Then on that note, the meeting is adjourned, and it's 11:32.